I want you to be turning with me tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me thank you too last night for your prayers as I tried to bring the message. We realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And last night I think I was wrestling a little bit. And I had Judas as Simon Peter one time. And then I never could get Esau and Jacob to switch sides. And so I want to thank you for your prayer. I tell you, this thing is trying to stand in the gap is a heavy load at times. And I appreciate your kindness and your love. I'm reading one verse of Scripture tonight, preaching on somewhat of a different subject for me. But I want to continue and conclude tonight this emphasis on kissing the Son. I'm reading verse number 12, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That's not my aim tonight, to get everybody kissing everybody in the body of Christ. As you understand, in the early church, the holy kiss was used, men with men, women with women, as a common form of greeting. And eventually it was replaced with a hand clasp. Of course, I've gone into churches where they still practice it. I'm not here to discourage it, and I'm not here necessarily to encourage it. I think it represents embracing one another and embracing Christ through one another as His body. Funny little story that I heard when I was in Northern Ireland. The dear man I preached for, Dr. Victor Maxwell, had done a lot of mission work upon the river in Brazil. And the Brazilians, being very loving people, they always greet one another with an embraço. That is, they reach out and just give a bear hug. An embraço, they call it. Brother Maxwell brought one of his converts, one of the Lord's converts under him, back to Northern Ireland so the people could see the fruit of his labor. And of course, the Brazilian was so thrilled to be in Northern Ireland. And he wanted to hug every new brother and new sister that he met. He was ready to embrace, give them a bear hug. And one of the proper Northern Irishmen said to the convert, he said, "We do not embrace each other here in Northern Ireland. It's not our practice." And so the fellow looked a little stunned. He said, "We just shake hands." And so the brother stepped back and raised his hands up in the air and shook them. I think he may have really poured coals of fire upon the heads. At any rate, I'd like to magnify this matter tonight of loving Christ through Christian love. His people are dear to Him. And therefore, as we respect one another in the body, we show how dear He is to us. Acacia, my youngest daughter, was coming by the house to pick up some things. I told Kathy when she said she was coming, I was out of town. I said, hug her for me. Hug her good for me. And so when she got there, after they'd talked a little bit, Kathy said, this is from your daddy.
She hauled off and hugged her real good.
She was hugging her for me in my absence. Well, in the family of God, we cannot physically embrace Christ, but we can embrace each other. And I want to do my best tonight to encourage Christian love among each other, among one another. Now, I've talked to you about kissing the Son from four different vantage points. Tonight, I'd like to talk about dearly kissing the Son. Dearly. Loving Him dearly through His people. Now, this matter of kissing one another in the early church is certainly set forth in the epistles. And once in Acts chapter 20, we read of the Ephesians kissing Paul as he was making his departure. In Romans 16:16, we're told to salute one another with a holy kiss. In 1 Corinthians 16:20, we have the words, greet one another with a holy kiss. In our text tonight, 2 Corinthians 13:12, we're told to greet one another with a holy kiss. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 26, we're told to greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14, a little different rendering, greet one another with the kiss of love. And so this is certainly a facet of fellowship, embracing one another, embracing Christ. I've used that idea all week about kissing the Son. It's not necessarily with our lips, but with our commitment and with full assurance of faith, we embrace the Lord Jesus. I've just written down a few things, a few thoughts, gathering. I'm going to sort of drop the pebble and then we'll chase the ripples here for a few minutes. Kissing the Son. Dearly kissing the Son. Somebody said, well, I love the Lord, but I tell you, some of those people, they just get on my nerves. Well, everybody can't be as wonderful as you and me. And so there's going to be some, I guess, that irritate us a little bit. You remember that little adage? Up there with the saints, 'twill be glory. But trying to get along with some of them down here is quite another story. And I realize that this may not appeal to us, but it's still a principle, it's still a biblical truth to embrace one another, to love one another, to appreciate one another. I'm going to say firstly, we can kiss the Lord Jesus because of our dear association with Christ and with one another. Brother, we're not left out here in the wind by ourselves. We've been joined to Christ, vitally so. And we're one with Him. And therefore we're one with one another. I will just mention the pictures, three pictures briefly. We are associated with one another in the body of Christ. We're all members of the same body. I've been saying this for a few years. I believe that one member's needs are often met by another member's gifts. We minister to one another. I've given the illustration about tuning two pianos in the same room. And you can play piano number one, hit a note, and if there's another piano tuned to the exact frequency in the same room, it'll pick up the vibrations in the air and it'll sound out the same note. Not as loudly, but definitely so. Similarly, in the body of Christ, there have been times when I didn't feel like God was sounding out any notes in my heart. But I got around the body, and the Lord was sounding some notes in some other hearts. And I began to pick up some vibrations. I began to pick up some manifestations of the Spirit. So we are associated with Christ and His people because we're in the body. We're in the body. He's the head. We're the body. And then I would remind you, another great New Testament teaching, we're not only in the body of Christ together, but we're in the building of Christ together. Now you take a stone building, especially a block stone building, the older sort, none of the stones are cut out exactly the same. Some are larger, some are smaller, but they're fitly framed together to form the building. And so it is with you and me. We're not all alike, but we all have our place in the building. And we're joined together, Christ being the foundation stone, the chief cornerstone, in other words. We're in the building. I think that should help us identify with one another. I may be on row 10 in the building. You may be on row 3. I may be a small cut stone. You may be a large cut stone. But that does not make one of us less important or more important than the other. God has put us in the building. And you'll remember in that Old Testament temple, the stones were put in the building without the sound of a hammer. Similarly, God has put us in without all a big thoroughfare or a to-do. We were cut out and prepared beforehand, and now He puts us in the building by the power of the Holy Ghost. I say we are in the body of Christ, and therefore we have a dear association with Him and with one another. We're in the building of Christ, and therefore we identify with Him and with one another. May I add, we're in the brotherhood of Christ. We are brethren. You remember Abraham said to Lot, "We be brethren. You take whatever part of the land you want, and I'll take the other." Sometimes I think we forget that we're in the brotherhood. In fact, the word brethren in the New Testament indicates that we're of the same womb. We've experienced the same type birth, the same grace, the same word, the same spirit. And consequently, we're in the brotherhood together. Of course, we live in a strange society. The church wants to take the language of the world and implement it. And the world wants to take the language of the church and implement it. Out there in the world, sometimes different ones will call everybody brother. Good to see you, bro. Brother, I want to say we are definitely in a genuine brotherhood. In the brotherhood of Christ. Brethren. Brethren. Of course, Paul wrote to some that he called ignorant brethren. This is a cut up now, forgive me. He said, we are not ignorant brethren. Indicating there must be some who are. I think we all probably fit in that. It's sort of like this. I don't know why I pick up things like this and miss good things. But I was preaching some out of Philippians. And Paul said in his greeting to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, all the saints. And then he said, with the bishops and the deacons, as though they weren't saints. Well, We're all in a brotherhood together, and we ought to love one another as members in the body, as stones in the building, and as brethren in the brotherhood. Praise God, we're in the family of God tonight. How blessed it is, oh, that we might love one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Or if you prefer a handshake. Or if you prefer an embrasso. Or if you prefer shaking your hands in the air. Make sure that you don't forget the saints. They're His body. They're His building. They're His people. Then I want to say secondly tonight, we not only can dearly kiss the Son in our dear association with Christ and with one another, but we can dearly kiss the Son in our dear appreciation of Christ and of one another. How do you feel about the saints tonight? Do you appreciate them? Or did you say when you drove up, I want you to look there. The way they parked, they've taken up two parking places. Instead of being three of that this year, you're aggravated because they parked wrongly. Y'all been leaving the gate pretty open out there, and we've wondered if we're supposed to park there or not. And I told Kathy, I said, just go right on in there. They can get by our vehicle. They can even look in if they want to. That's the close where we park. What about, I want you to look, they've got my seat. And I'm talking about silly little ideas that we have in our mind. Lord have mercy. Oh, that we might dearly appreciate Christ and one another. I've written down two or three things here that have gripped my heart. First of all, in appreciating Christ and His people, it indicates then that we are not enduring them because they are not what we want them to be. Now, I confess there have been some times in my life where I must have been right spiritual because some people irritated me. And I let it get to me and caused me a little bitterness in my spirit. But we don't want to endure one another because we're not what each other wants us to be. Traveling like I do, and like Kathy has, we get in all kinds, brother. I mean, I was in Tennessee, and a friend of mine helped me. He had called the pastor and said, I want you to meet Brother Tom. He called another pastor, said, I want you to meet Brother Tom. Oh, we know Brother Tom. Well, he's got a Sunday open. Would y'all be interested in using him? That was back some 4 years ago when I had some struggles with my dates. And then he said to me, he said, now Tom, one of them's, of course you understand this, one of them's not a Baptist church, but it is a Baptist church. And he said, one of them's got the title of a Baptist church, but it's really a holiness church. I said, well, they need preaching too, don't they? And so I went to both of them and loved on both of them. And certainly everybody's not exactly what we want them to be, but we're not just to endure them. We're to greet them with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That's appreciating Christ and one another. Not with an enduring attitude. And not with an expecting attitude. I've expected too much out of some people. We don't want to endure them because they're not what we want them to be. And we don't want them to expect. We don't want to expect them to be something they cannot be. I believe in Christ there's the potential for development. But there's some people that will never seem to rise in our day above a certain level. Oh boy. And yet I'm to greet them with a holy kiss. Brethren, greeting one another body members greeting one another. Now, Kathy and I are dealing with an issue right now with relatives where we would like for them to be more than what they are. We pray for that. We cry out to God for that. But it doesn't seem at this point that there's the enablement for them to do that. In our family, we have several that are not attending church. And we would love to see them attending church, meeting together with God's people. Your pastor was talking about Brother Joe Parsons. I remember him saying that he was sick. And the deacons came and said, "Now don't you worry about it, Brother Joe." He said, "I want you to help me down to the church. I am sick." But he said there's healing in the church. There is something in the body. There's something precious in our gathering. And so let me add, our dear appreciation of Christ and one another should not just be enduring one another and not just expecting everybody to come up to my level or what I think they ought to do. And then thirdly, this is wicked now, watch out. It's not exalting them to use them for what we want to be. If we're not careful, we'll get two or three. Well, we want them to be different so it'll help us look better. Help us out. We'll get more on our side. I remember when we used to pull that rope. In school, we get some on that side pulling, some on this side. And then somebody'd fall down, that'd weaken our side. And the first thing you know, they've gotten back up and they're helping us again. It isn't that we just want people to help us. We want God to be glorified. We want the Lord Jesus to be exalted. And oh, that our hearts might be appreciative of one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. It speaks to us of our dear association with Christ and with one another. It speaks to us of our dear appreciation of Christ and of one another. When I was a boy, they sang this song. I'm not so sure it was practice, but it's a pretty good little song, parts of it. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. Reckon there's any truth to that? Oh, I want it to be. Do you? I want my life to be a sponge, receiving His love and sharing it with others. And then let me magnify one final little thought that I've had. This matter of kissing one another with a holy kiss, committing ourselves to Christ through one another, embracing Christ through one another because we're part of His body. We're one with Him. I've mentioned our dear association, our dear appreciation. Last, I'd like to mention our dear affirmation for Christ and for one another. I know you're aware of this, but let me remind us. Our word of encouragement may be the only word that Brother So-and-so gets this next week. Our word of encouragement may be the only word of encouragement that Sister So-and-so gets this next week. I preached one time about giving thanks that the Sunday school class had given some flowers. And then I made a comment. I said, probably the truth is if the Sunday school class didn't give flowers, some people never would get flowers. And that's not a major crisis. But I want to say, beloved, there's more to this thing than just saying hello and goodbye. It's affirming our love for Christ and affirming our love for one another. Now, let me say, firstly, this is an affirmation of love. It's not a terrible thing to tell somebody, I love you. It's a word of affirmation that says to them, somebody's with me. Somebody has a heart for me. You know we live in a terrible society. It is a society of total ugly attitudes converging on one another. One ugly human being, I'm not talking about appearance, I'm talking about attitudes, coming together with another one with an ugly attitude. Well, how could it be different? It could be different if you and I slip in there and show the love of the Lord Jesus and even say to somebody, I love you. Now, my dad had a hard time saying, I love you. And I realize all of us were raised differently, and that affects us. Unfortunately, it sometimes affects us for an entire lifetime, and maybe some of our family members even longer. But my dad could not say, I love you. In fact, you'd have to know my dad. He couldn't even say my name. I'm just cutting up. I know he is my daddy, but I wondered sometimes. He never even used my name. He called me Bud all my life. Bud. Bud, I want you to do this while I'm at work today. He come in, Bud, did you get that done? I was Bud. Let me introduce myself to you. I'm Bud. But like if the family got together and I would tell him, Dad, I love you. The best he could get out was, yeah, yeah. I believe he loved me, but he could never say it. I want to encourage every one of us here tonight in this hour of hatred and bitterness and in a world of venom and social wickedness, oh, that we might learn to love one another. Amen. Love one another at home. Love one another in the church. Love others even on the job. Some that have no capacity to be loved, to love or to be loved. May God somehow put it in us to give some love. Even if it's just, I got you on my mind this weekend. We're talking about you. Let them know that they have a place in your heart. And brother, if that's important in the world, how much more important is it in the body of Christ? Huh? There's no little eyes, no big eyes and little U's in the kingdom of God. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. There's no place where I should look down my nose at anybody. Brother, I know from whence I came. I know what grace has done in my life. I have no reason to give somebody else a cold shoulder or an ugly attitude. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Commit yourself to Jesus through His people. And then it's not only loving, but it's liberating. I have never felt bad when I told somebody, I love you and appreciate what you're doing. Thank you for being here. Thank you for praying for me. I love you for it. I'd love you anyhow, but I love you for it. I've never felt bad from that. I've never felt bad saying to our family members, I love you. Now, often, Kathy will get on the phone while we're traveling, and I have to sort of love them through her. I'll say, tell your mama I love her. Or whoever she's talking to, tell them I love them. I want to say, beloved, it liberates us. It liberates us to let God love through us. The world can't love like God's people can love. Oh, that we might be liberated in this area. And liberate. It may liberate somebody else. You ever heard anybody say, you know, that's a loving person? Wouldn't it be good if that could be said about us? That's a loving person. I'd like to be so full of love when the worst statement is jabbed up in me and love will come running out. And I'll not retaliate. I'll not defend. But I'll let God love somebody through me. And then I think I've alluded to this already, but it's a measure of loyalty. It's saying, when you tell somebody I love you in the body, it's saying, I've got your back. Well, I've had some of them get my back, and I felt like later I got a little knife back there in the break of the neck and the shoulders. But, we should have one another's back. We should be able to say, oh, yes, we love that brother. We love that sister. I'll tell on Kathy and I'll try to hush. Sometimes she's got a picture of the grandchildren by the bed. And sometimes when she tells Luke and Gwen, especially, good night, I've watched her. She misses them so much and loves them so much. She'll kiss that picture. And I might not get kissed at first because she's kissing Luke and Gwen. But I've laid there and cried with her. She gets to see them a couple, three times a year. And she misses them. Listen, beloved, we're joined to Christ, and yet we're not with Him physically. And yet I know we're married to Him and joined to Him through vital faith. However, sometimes we may just need to love Him through those that are around us, the saints. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Greet each other, one another, with a holy kiss.